Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took.
102.5 KZOK. Here's a story about some local folks who've done good. Classmates.com started in a Kent basement less than a decade ago. As the company grew, they hired more employees, including CEO Michael Smith. And they moved into their current headquarters in Renton. This week, the company announced, what a Tony address Renton is, huh? The company announced that it was selling itself to United Online for $100 million. President and CEO Michael Smith joins us this morning in the studio to tell us about an internet success story and what he plans to do. Like, is he going to work another day in this? He probably is. He's a CEO. He's born to do that, right? You're wired that way, aren't you?
I love to work.
Michael, you listen to the show here a little bit too, right?
I love it. Enjoy it. Watching, read it, or listen to it coming in the morning.
Okay. Michael, the internet is full of broken promises, shattered dreams, startups that ended up in the trash heap, sock puppets tossed away in a landfill.
Just the one.
And yet, you start this company, or you didn't start, you weren't one of the founders, but you're the CEO. This company is started in a Kent basement. It's called Classmates.com. It's one of those one-word companies where the word is the brand. You know, Pets.com, Classmates.com, Buy.com. Why did it survive and prosper?
I think there were a couple reasons. The first is that this is a really compelling idea. You know, high school is really powerful emotionally. Everybody went to high school, and so there are a lot of people in our market. The other is that the founder was a former Boeing engineer, was really smart in the early days, and didn't get caught up in all the internet hype, and didn't spend money. You know, wasn't using dollar bills to buy 50 cents.
That's one of the criticisms of early Amazon is I think it cost them $4 to sell out ship every dollar book. They would actually go to Barnes and Noble. I heard this fable, I don't know if it's true, that in the beginning they were getting orders faster than they could do it. So they would go to a bookstore, buy a book, wrap it up, and send it to the people, and they were losing money with every book.
Hard to make it up on volume that way.
That's right. Classmates.com makes money?
We've been profitable since 2001. Absolutely.
You guys.
Wait a minute! I want more than that. How much?
Yeah.
How much?
Thanks.
Well, of course, we're going to be part of a public company now, and I don't want all of us to go to jail, so I've got to be careful about what we say. But
sure, Martha, appreciate it. Thank you. Doesn't want to end up in Camp Cupcake.
We've made several million so far this year. The first 9 months of the year was reported.
And you never did go public before and put out a classmate stock. Was there a temptation to do that when everybody else was doing it?
There was, and of course, as a board, we have an obligation to consider all of our options, and so we looked hard at going public.
Private investors funded this.
Yes, there were angel investors. There were venture firms as well.
Why do they call them angel investors? I've heard that term a lot. What does that mean?
Well, if you're an entrepreneur and you're dying on the vine and you need money, they look like angels of their vision.
It's nothing more complicated than that.
Well, I don't know. That's
it's a miracle we got some money. Must have been an angel.
Having had a business that struggled like that, I certainly looked at them as angels.
What do you know about the initial brainstorm, the initial light bulb that went on over, what's the founder's name?
Randy Conrads.
What do you know about that story? I'm sure you've sit around and he's told that story.
Yeah, Randy was a self-professed military brat, moved around a lot, and lost touch with a lot of people from high school. And this was just an idea. He wanted to get back in touch with some of these people and started the idea in his basement.
Did he know it could be a huge company, or did he really start it out of love for the idea and then gradually come to that realization?
Now, I don't think he had any idea that it'd ever be as big as it eventually become. He thought it'd just be a great way to bring people together and that a lot of people would be reconnected through this idea.
Have you ever thought about what percentage of people you have now in the U.S.? I look at my senior class, and I would guess probably almost half now are on your site.
About two-thirds of mine.
How many people do you have in your class, Joe? You went to
Newport, and I think we had probably close to 500, and there's well over 200 registered on there. So,
right, yeah, and I think we've added almost 20 this year, new people. We've got roughly 20.
You know every high school?
Well, just the local ones, Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the local ones. You know, we've got 20 to 25% in some schools. It's even higher.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing. Will you tell your boss that I reconnected with the first girl I ever kissed, thanks to classmates.com?
I've been listening to that.
You heard that?
Absolutely. It's an amazing story. And
that's what it struck me, as you said, everybody, once you've had high school, you have high school for the rest of your life. It's sort of like an STD in a way.
it's glory like days. It's the glory days of everybody's life.
That's
you look
right.
back on high school, nothing but fun.
And, you know, this woman, of course, I was disappointed. She's now a middle-aged woman. What happened to her?
But, is this your mom?
Well, she actually has a daughter who answered the phone, and it was like, oh, no, that's your daughter.
And how did you feel when you saw her on the list, when you first went to classmates and saw her name?
It's Christmas. It's amazing. And by the way, my wife knows this, because I certainly wouldn't do this. Some people do this behind their wives' backs. I wouldn't do that. I'm sure you've had a little bit of that, too. People, have anybody come to classmates.com in a wife beater t-shirt and said,
hey, remember that time you wanted to give it up there after the football game? I'm ready now. I'm your guy.
Yeah, well, we have, I don't know of any instances like that.
That's not what I meant. I meant the guy would come and blame classmates because his wife reconnected with somebody.
Oh,
but that's
bad.
All right.
I was thinking about my end of it. Sorry.
But it was really an amazing feeling, because here's someone who is somewhere in the soup that is America, and you have no idea where. There's absolutely no way, no point of contact. You know, they do that whole 6 degrees of separation thing with the Hollywood actor, and here you have 1 degree of separation with everyone you ever went to high school with.
We call that the aha moment when you first see that list. But we have we had one story where a sibling, a brother or sister, hadn't seen each other in 50 years, and they got reconnected on the site.
Brother, sister?
Brother, sister. This is during the war. You know, back then they didn't have the internet and things like that, and he went off to war, moved around, she moved around, and they lost touch.
What year does it start? I mean, does it go back? I never looked. Does it go back into the 1920s and stuff?
1900 is when our year starts. So,
have you had any complaints about that from the from the Willard Scott crowd, from the Smuckers people?
None that I'm aware of. No.
I went to my 100th reunion. I was the only guy there. It's bites.
Now you guys are getting basically $100 million, which is a nice round figure. I'm wondering, one, how you settled on that amount, and number two, how do you split something like that up? How many employees do you have? 150 or so now? Is that about right?
We've got about 175 employees. We're actually getting about 100. We're getting 128 million, which includes the cash on the balance sheet. So the 100 million is a nice round number. I like those and easy to talk about. But we draw straws to see who gets the money.
And you're the CEO, so you get the most straws.
I get the longest straw. You know, all those people who rolled the dice and invested money with us at the beginning.
Making out great. How about the little people? The little people in the company, the little secretaries and such. Are they also getting something that amounts to a nice little pension boost from this whole thing?
The great thing about this is all the employees have options, so they will all benefit and be able to buy a new car, buy new clothes.
Let's talk about the internet failures. Did they all have to fail? Did the dot-com bubble have to burst? What caused it to burst? We do know that a lot of companies were just spending money wildly and had absolutely no plan to make any money. So let's just assume those had to burst. But did some good things go away when the dot-com bubble burst, do you think?
I do. There were some great ideas. And people got ahead of themselves. They were spending money, you know, buying 50 cents for a dollar, and it's a shame, because some of those ideas actually are coming back now and will be successful companies.
Give me one.
I'll give you one.
Just write it down and pass it to us.
Buy Microsoft. You know, I had a company.
I was told by Microsoft in 1989 by our sales manager. Like he just said,
he doesn't take our calls anymore, does he?
He said, no. "Put everything you. I don't care what you have to do. Everything you have." And I went, "This guy is a loony bin."
No, that company I founded late '80s was a photo company, photo sharing online, things like that, and it was ahead of its time. And now sites are coming out and being successful. You know, some of the photo sites, and they will be successful.
Now, is the internet bubble blowing back up again? Because I see Google's stock goes crazy. I see you guys get 100 million. I see shopping.com come on the market this week and just about double in a day. It seems like it's starting again. Do you think it really is?
You know, I think certainly it's stronger than it was a year or two ago. But the valuations are always fluctuating. And depending on what's in favor during the day or who's reporting the good numbers, you know, those are going
to
see rise.
Is it safe to say that if you actually have profits, that you'll be looked at seriously again?
If you have profits and growth, you will be looked at very, very seriously.
eBay. Monsters. Right? eBay is unstoppable.
eBay has such a huge lock on a great market that's growing. They've done a terrific job. And if you're trying to sell something, where are you going to go?
I had a bid on Christopher Reeve's wheelchair. They pulled it. Pulled the auction.
They pulled his wheelchair?
Yeah, they pulled the auction.
It was up there?
Yeah.
It wasn't his real wheelchair. It was some guy.
No.
So I would think if it was authorized by his wife, that would be just fine.
Oh, that's horrible.
Or spinal research or something.
Yeah, all the money, all the proceeds go to stem cells. I would do it. So, yeah, I have an internet idea.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it now.
Oh.
but I have this idea. I know it would work. And I know it would make money. And I know it wouldn't cost a ton of money, but it would be more than I have to build the site. It's travel related. It's something that none of the major travel places. It's the type of thing that Travelocity or Expedia should buy after I build it and make it kick ass. Because that's the strategy, right? You build something, you corner the market so no one else can really come up against you. Like if someone tried to copy classmates.com, they'd be starting in so deep in a hole that it's just easier to buy, right?
Right.
So I have this idea. But I'm not going to quit my job, you know, move into a tiny apartment with a dim light bulb and work 22 hours a day and eat nothing but Cheetos and Top Ramen and just go nuts on it. Someone should, though. And then they should pay me a lot of money. How can I arrange that?
Michael just got $100 million. Maybe he's got one to spare.
When you figure that out, let me know.
Because it's the follow-through. I mean, a million people could have had the idea, classmate. A million people did have ideas. And they would go, I have this idea. Having an idea... Sure. We all have them, and we all have something else, too.
That's the first step. But there are many steps along that path to eventual success and the $100 million payout.
One of those steps is hiring a brilliant CEO, such as yourself. What makes a great CEO to come in and take something that's an idea that's clearly flourishing and turn it into a good company?
You know, I'm a simple guy. To me, it comes down to hiring great people. And understanding who your customer is and building great product and giving a reason to come with you and not to go anywhere else.
And you're a young guy. I mean, when I said the CEO is coming in, I kind of expected a suit.
Les Moonves would saunter.
Yeah, you're wearing a denim shirt. You look to be, you know, my age, maybe even a little
That's
younger.
Your real hair.
And I know you came from Nordstrom. Was it tough to, I mean, Nordstrom is not, there's not a more established name in business than Nordstrom. Was it tough to leave something like that to go on something that was more of a venture like Classmates?
Nordstrom is a great company. I had a lot of fun there. But I like new challenges. And Classmates is the only thing of its kind around. And
Nordstrom's is basically about matching the right shoe with the right women's foot. After a while, that's got to get old. Isn't it?
Well, they excel too.
All right. I thank you very much for coming in. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Smith, the president and CEO of Classmates.com, which recently sold for $100 million, and it's a monstrous success story from a basement in Kent.
Nice. Thank you, Bob.
We wish you the best.
Thank you.
Three thieves in Memphis, Tennessee, broke into a house, made off with a great haul. DVD... Wait a minute. DVD players are worth like $29.
This is Memphis.
All right. DVD players, computers, radios, TVs, and other electronics. I used to worry about people breaking in and stealing my electronics, but electronics are so disposable today, I thought we were past that.
What do people,
it's Memphis.
Yeah, what do you break in for these days? I guess jewelry or something?
That's all in a safety deposit box. I guess if you're desperate. Anyway, so these thieves totally ransack this Memphis, Tennessee home. During the getaway, one of them realizes, belatedly, that the parrot in the house had heard him and the other thief using his nickname, JJ. And the parrot had started repeating the nickname.
While they were, JJ, 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 JJ. Help me, JJ. Get it, grab the end, JJ.
As police captain Billy Garrett tells the story, they realized that, we left something behind. We left that bird. And that bird will squeal on us. I actually believe the bird saying JJ, some Columbo would walk inside and go,
how you doing, little cutie bird? I hate to bother you. Your bird keeps saying JJ. I thought that's crazy talk, crazy.
Do you know anyone named JJ? No, we don't.
Well, that's him.
So these three master criminals, if too bad the Home Alone series wasn't still up and running, these three master criminals went back to the house to kill the bird.
No witnesses.
They left a witness behind. Shortly after they got there, the police, I guess coincidentally, forgot to fill out some paperwork or something. Mm-hmm. Police went back, chased the men down, and arrested them. All have been charged with aggravated burglary and evading arrest. As for the parrot, Home Alone 5, during the fracas, his cage broke open, and he managed to fly away, escaping the criminals.
Good for him.
Not so good for him. The owners can't find him. He hasn't been seen since.
Oh.
So he's out. And by the way, why can't these parrots and other birds, they don't live very long in the wild, do they? Is it because they're from the tropical island and they need a warmer temperature?
Well, that's part of it. But there is a flock of parrots that lives here in Seattle in the Seward Park area. And if you go to certain parts of California, like Playa del Rey, for example, or Pacific Palisades, there are flocks of parrots that fly around. They look like oversized parakeets, and they're doing just fine.
So the really big ones, though, the really expensive big ones, because I know my friends had to keep the temperature at 78 degrees in this one room filled with bird crap. And I used to,
that must have been fun.
This is great. I'd get there and I go, what's for dinner? It's hard to tell with all that bird crap.
Want to say hi to Mr. Crackers? No, thanks, really.
I don't know why you had, and they had this bird and it was mean and it would like bite at people. Yeah. And
what colors were it? Remember?
It was a kind of a pinkish white big thing.
Cockatoo?
But it was mostly sort of white, but an off-white that was like pink. You know what that is?
Yeah, Spike was right. It's a cockatoo.
A cockatoo?
Cockatoo. Well, so a Beretta head.
Looking at the lost and found ads as much as I do, not a week goes by that you don't see somebody that lost a parrot or a parakeet. Mm. They seem to have a penchant for escaping. And man, those things are expensive. I was looking just a couple days ago in the pet store.
You're looking at a parakeet for Emily?
Well, we were looking at the parrots, and there was one that said, nice parrot, talks great, was $2,800, now $1,800. They'd sliced $1,000 off this.
That's
parrot.
Because someone left it in the room while The Sopranos was on.
Whack him!
I was wondering if it talks so great, why the big markdown? But that's an expensive thing to lose. That parrot's probably worth more than all those TVs and gadgets that they lost.
Here they are walking by the parrot, the talking parrot.
Had something with weight of money. $2,800.
A cockatoo, huh?
Yeah.
That'd be a great if I think a gay couple should get that.
What? Cockatoo?
Oh.
That would make four, wouldn't it?
They live for like 70 years,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, they can outlive you. That's the problem with these these things is if you got a bad one, you know, unless you want to do something with them, you're stuck with them. I mean, they can live longer than humans can live.
They can live up to 100 years.
Oh, jeez.
Really?
Really.
They had a guy on Evening Magazine a couple days ago that bought a depressed parrot, and he said it was his job to try to bring him out of his funk, and he'd been doing it for over a decade, like cuddling to this parrot.
Coddling.
Whatever he was doing.
Whatever cheers him up.
I guess the other owner had put him he'd lost his other owner. He was going to be cuddling, he said, for the rest of his days because he was in his 60s, and this parrot was, you know, still relatively young.
What do you do if someone wheels you something like that?
A nasty parrot.
Who farted? Who farted? On my finger. On my finger.
Go ahead. What does this tell nasty limericks all day long?
Like we're a girl from Peru. All right.
All right. If I had a bird, I would enjoy the talking part for a little while, but I would never... I want to keep something for my whole lifetime. Could you have a pet for your whole lifetime?
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, I got one annoying nagging thing for my whole lifetime is enough.
Right. That's that 47 Ford you own, right? Yeah.
Don't bail me out. I don't need your help. Yes, Mike.
Hey, my horse is older than Casey.
Okay.
34 years old.
Now, what's the life expectancy on a horse? Is he?
I think live up to. I mean,
it depends on whether
old,
he runs fast enough.
You call him Elmer?
The Willard Scott of horses would be putting his face on the screen. That's how old he is.
How long do you expect him to live then?
You know, each winter comes along, we're like, whoo, wonder. You know.
So it's time.
It could be, yeah.
So he's like Felix.
Felix.
Oscar and Felix. He's old.
Oh, Tony Randall old.
Tony Randall. Could he still have a baby horse? Is he still capable of that?
No. Help me out here, Mike.
He's a gelding.
He's a gelding, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Mr. Snippets.
The horses usually go in the winter?
Not necessarily, no. But you know, I mean each time the cold months come around, you kinda wonder.
Can you still ride him even?
No, he's retired from riding.
What do you do then?
What's he good for?
Yeah.
What's
your grandpa good for?
You know what he's good for? The supply closet. Glue for everybody.
All right, kids, it's macaroni design day.
Yay!
You'd never do that to Bummer.
His name is Bummer?
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of his racing career described in a nutshell.
Bummer.
All right. It's 7:32. Let's check news. Here's Casey.
Sorry.
You can do this.
Sorry. Can you,
What was that? What was that funny?
It wasn't funny at all. Once you try to not laugh about it, then you can't stop laughing. It wasn't funny at all.
Is it the glue thing?
No, apparently not. Oh. How about paint? Is paint not as funny? Can we talk about paint instead?
Shampoo?
Ouch.
They don't use horses in shampoo testing, do they? They should. They have a
Your
mane.
Big eyes.
And the eyes.
Yeah. We do
you
sports
could,
while
you could sell
calm
them
down.
To animal testing, Mike.
No, that's so bad.
Right.
Are you going to have them stuffed like Trigger when
Let's
you're all done?
Bids. No. That's expensive.
You gonna
can you stuff
him?
Your Can you stuff your own horse and have it like in the living room?
It's a home. It's a home kit they make. Right, I can't afford a taxidermist. I'll tell you what, I can't afford a couple cans of those spray foam.
Oh, but I mean, take it to a taxidermist. Can you stuff a horse?
Oh, you
sure.
Sure,
yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
In this state.
In this state. Yeah, I don't think there's any laws against it.
Taxidermy is legal in the state of Washington. One of the best was Kleinberger's down there south of Safeco Field.
They did elephants, jaguars,
polar bears,
everything. Yeah.
Jaguars.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a car, right?
Well, yeah, and a really fast
is
cat.
Is that how you say the animal, too? Jaguar? The commercial now says jaguar.
Jaguar. They
it's like
so
you're
now.
Insulting somebody. What a jaguar.
I got a jaguar. No, you don't. You got a jaguar.
Two Hollywood actors went to court on DUI charges yesterday. That's not really news, is it?
Only two.
One got off and one didn't. Who's looking at 6 months and who's free to go back to the bar? We have audio from the guy who got off.
Mm-hmm.
Actor Rip Torn was acquitted of drunken driving charges yesterday by a jury that deliberated less than 2 hours and then was treated to a personal thank you from the Emmy-winning actor. This in a New York courthouse. "This is one of the great events in my life," a choked-up Rip Torn said after hearing the not guilty verdict in Manhattan criminal court. "To be in the hands of this wonderful jury, I love New York." "Thank you very much," said Rip Torn, a 1996 Emmy winner, for his role, by the way, as a hard-drinking producer on the Larry Sanders Show.
One of the greatest roles ever made.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Arnie? Is that the name? I feel bad now. I can't remember the character
on Larry Sanders either.
It was pretty amazing that he got off with they had the audio and videotape of his arrest, and he was doing a great job of acting like a drunk guy if he wasn't actually drunk.
Do we have the audio of his arrest?
Yeah, it's a little blurry because it's like surveillance audio, but we do have it.
Here's Rip Torn being arrested.
"I'm telling you, you guys are all going to jail. You are all f***ing out of line.
Why?
You've been arrested for operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol. I was hit by a taxi. I need you to listen to me, okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me.
What?
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I wasn't out there.
Was I hit by a taxi? Oh, my God.
You refused to submit to a taxi.
I won't say anything until you take this stuff.
What portion thereof?
We're not say anything until you take this.
Have you introduced as evidence against
you? I won't have to say anything until you take this stuff.
At any trial?
I have witnesses. What I drank, one and a half drink.
One and a half drink.
The Buccarita. This guy got acquitted?
This guy got off.
Send you all to jail.
Wow.
He sure showed them.
Wow.
So he says, I love New York.
I love New York.
Oh, you're all invited to my pool.
Wow.
How did he get off?
Johnny Cochran.
Well, he was in
there. He's let him ease and set him free.
He was in a wreck, I guess, with a taxi, and I don't know the defense, but basically he was saying, you know, I was just hit, and I'm the victim here.
Well, I love how he had asked. I was hit by a taxi. It was you were hit by a taxi. I was hit by a taxi. He probably looked down. I feel okay. I was in a car.
God, that guy was hammered.
It sounded pretty slurred.
You know what? If he's not hammered, then Ashley Simpson was not lip syncing Saturday Night Live.
We don't have audio from the other one, and I can only imagine, but he didn't fare as well on the other coast.
Actor David Hasselhoff, on the other hand, pleaded no contest yesterday to a charge of driving under the influence, was ordered to enroll in alcohol program for 6 months. A Los Angeles judge also imposed a $390 fine, community service, and license restrictions. $390, not probably a lot.
Mm-mm.
6 month alcohol program? What is that?
A meeting a week, right?
No, usually I've never been forced to do this, but I believe it's some sort of.
He's got to give his car mouth to mouth to get it started?
No, not that. I that's a whole separate thing, the breath car start.
Start! Start!
I believe that it involves some sort of outpatient program for 6 months where you don't actually have to check into Betty Ford. You just have to go...
Check in with Betty Ford.
Well, they call them... This I do know from experience. They call them outpatient programs. You're supposedly responsible enough to allegedly continue on in society.
Okay.
But you still go for drug treatment. And it's a class you attend roughly three times a week from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. How do I know all
this? So you've heard... This is the collective unconscious Eric was talking about.
From my previous life, uh-huh. Yes. And you and it's extremely intense. I mean, if you had to go to a class 3 hours a day, three times a week, add that into your full-time schedule, and you realize that it suddenly takes over your life.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to do that. He's got to pay $390 fine, community service, and license restrictions.
Did they say what his community service is?
No.
They should make him a lifeguard. They should make him really get out there and really try to save bad people from drowning. That'd be hilarious.
Wouldn't it be though, a disappointment if you were drowning and you saw David Hasselhoff and you said, please save me? And he said, look, man, I just look the part. I'm an actor.
I'm sorry. I don't swim. Sorry.
Can't swim. So how did the other guy, and I will accept calls on this, how did the guy with the drunken tirade tape, the surveillance camera, rip torn, how does he get off? What jury could watch that and find him not guilty? I don't get it.
And I don't know how much more physical evidence. It doesn't mention what he blew, if he was, maybe he refused a breathalyzer. I mean,
he blew a taxi.
Stop it, both of you. I was thinking of a couple of arresting officers, but anyway, hey.
You thought he was... Never mind. I'm not going to pursue that line of joke. So, yeah, 1-800-252-1025. Does anybody have a quick observation of how he could get off? We don't have the facts of the case. Maybe the police made a mistake. Maybe they filled out some paperwork wrong. It sounds like he would have refused the breathalyzer.
Right, and he took it all the way to a jury trial, so he's definitely stretched it out.
But still, you have, and let's play another excerpt from that. You have that tape of Rip Torn, ripped. Chris in Linwood. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
First time caller.
Baka.
I'm just going to say that, you know what, I had a DUI about 4 years ago, and they made me do the two-year program.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just get a neg drive ticket, and they made me go through the program again.
You got a what?
And so I got a neg drive. Negligent driving.
Neg drive? So you don't even have time to say negligent?
Well, no, that's short for negligent.
I know, but shouldn't you, if you are negligent, shouldn't you look at the whole word? Isn't that what that is all about?
Well, I know what it's about. I got a negligent driving for running in... Anyhow, I got a negligent driving.
Excuse me. But this is a very important... Chris.
Is that they don't... They Chris. Don't actually pay attention to what's going on. The state should not make the assessments done by the people who you're paying the money to. The state should make the assessments. Do you deserve to go to 2 years of treatment, or do you deserve to go to 1 year or 6 weeks or 8 weeks or just 1 day? Is there differences that they have? Should the state be able to make that? Should the state make that? Who's giving you the ticket? Or should it be the employer? Not the employer, the people you're paying your money to.
Lawyer?
That make that. Not the lawyer. No, the assessment people.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet you
make
have
the assessment.
I'll bet you have every recording Glenn Campbell ever recorded.
I've never even listened to Glenn Campbell.
No. I don't paint him with that brush. That's not fair. Are you working on last night, or did you start today already?
Me?
You?
I'm sitting at home listening to you guys.
I bet you're sober as a judge right now, aren't you, Chris?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, you're not sober?
Ta-da. Hell no. Oh,
okay.
So my question again is, are you still working on last night, or did you already start today?
I get off at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Bingo. This is Miller time for you. You've earned a right to have a couple beers safe at home after a graveyard shift, right?
Yes.
There you go.
Are you not going to drive?
No, I'm not going to drive.
Don't get mad at me.
Anger.
I'm not talking to you. Take these cuffs off.
I mean, I'll keep playing with you, too, but I'm telling you, is it the people who make the assessments also... they're the ones who make the money.
Yes,
they
but you
make the assessment.
But you're the one who's there. You're the one who's in court. You do know that, right?
Right, I realize that. What I'm saying is that the court or the state should make the assessment, not let Milam or any other company make the assessment and decide whether you get to stay there.
Because they have a financial interest in you not right. being well. I understand that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Very well, too.
However, if you were never in a position to be arrested for this, it wouldn't be an issue at all for you, right?
If I'm in a position to be arrested for it, that's fine. I'm just saying that don't make the people
I got
who
that.
Decide you
already
how
agreed
drunk
with that.
You are. Right.
Hey, Chris?
Yes?
Could you say this word for me?
Any word you want.
Negligent.
Negligent. Can you say Swiss wristwatch?
Does it come right off my tongue?
Let's give it a shot. You're sober.
Swift wristwatch.
See? Ha-ha.
That's pretty good. That's a good DJ. That is a good DJ.
I'm telling you, you guys are all going to jail. You are all f***ing out of line. Take my cup. You've been arrested for operating a motor vehicle while under the influence.
I was hit by a taxi.
I need you to listen to me, okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me right now.
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I wasn't out there.
No, I was hit by a taxi.
That's actor Rip Torn, who yesterday was found not guilty by a jury of his peers. I guess he would have argued that it was the taxi that disoriented and slurred his speech.
He was a mild concussion.
Well, he is a man in his 70s, so it could be a possibility.
Brian in Renton, why does Rip Torn get off? David Hasselhoff does not.
It's a two-part answer, Bob. It's really pretty simple. First off, the surveillance video is actually the audition tape that they submitted to Shandling's producers to get the part. The second part is he is a capable actor, and he's really the only one of the two capable of getting before an audience and going into character to present his case and make a convincing argument.
David Hasselhoff just sat in the box and flexed his pecs.
Put some sunblock on.
One can act, man. I'll let you decide who, but one of them can act.
good observation, Bri. Brent in Tacoma.
Yeah, hi. First of all, I take those classes, and they're a joke. It's an hour a week. I mean,
only a joke if you're not getting anything out of it, pal.
Well, also, I paint my car, and I can either go to the spray-on quick paint job for $1,500, or I can paint my car right.
Yeah, you just go there. It's like being in high school when you take those drug classes where they tell you marijuana does this. Every week they throw in a different topic. It's nothing big.
And you think it's all pointless?
It kind of is. It's just basically a way to punish somebody to get you to go there. I mean,
so none of what they're saying makes any sense to you.
Oh, it makes sense. I mean, but I think I go to the classes. I think it should be something a little bit stiffer than that. I mean,
so you think they're not pouring a stiff enough rehab for you?
No, I would have given myself worse.
I just find it ironic that the guy who thought those drug education classes were worthless ended up with a DUI.
Well, the second thing was, I heard that he actually, when he went before the court, he argued that he had been wrongfully arrested, and they let him off that way.
So it was a technicality.
Yeah, it wasn't that he proved he was sober. It was the fact that he kind of, like, he proved that the cops went after him. He had been the one who was the victim, and the cops just harassed him.
Thank you, Brent. Dan in Polsbo, why do some people get off? Other people don't.
Well, in that case there, it sounds to me like the guy was just sitting in his car. Perhaps he was under the influence. It certainly sounds that way, but it would appear to me that the taxi car ran into him if his car wasn't moving, and the cops hauled him for just being in his car, per se, under the influence. So it would seem to me that that was his argument, that he wasn't driving. But they haul them in anyway because that's what they do.
Did you see me drive? I was hit by a taxi.
Many's
well,
the case.
Well, if he was just sitting in his car at the side of the road, engine
running
or not,
and the
taxi ran into him, he wasn't driving, right?
He wasn't operating that vehicle at all.
When they came upon him.
Right.
Well, like I say, I don't.
You think
know
maybe he was hit by a taxi, and while he waited for the police, he just happened to down a quart of something?
Well, no. Let's just say that he was sitting in his car in a parking spot or something. I don't know, but it could, you know, that he wasn't driving at the time. That the just the fact that he was in his car, and another car ran into him, and he was under the influence. That seems to me what his argument was, and I could see where that's valid.
Thank you, Dan. Here's Paula. Paula?
Hi, Bob, Spike, and Joe.
Hi.
This is what I understand. He did hit a taxi. I saw him on Celebrity Justice the other night. I saw the whole arrest. He was wasted, and he hit another taxi, and his lawyers actually are Judge Judy's sons.
Come on.
No.
Nice people who know people, huh? Nice.
Yeah.
So what was his defense?
I don't remember, but I saw him. He was falling all over the police station, handcuffed. They were holding him up, and Judge Judy's sons were saying, oh, he's innocent, he's innocent. And this was before the trial, and he should have gone down. He was so drunk. It wasn't even cute.
Thank you, Paula. Brett has a comment on our earlier caller who was drinking while listening to us, and we want to thank him for doing that. He's home. He's not. He's not behind the wheel of a car. He gets off
an 8-hour shift.
He gets off at 6 a.m. And as John pointed out here from the summit, we're his lullaby. That's an honor for us to be there while you drink yourself to sleep to be part of that.
It's more like we're his Friday night party. I mean, this is his weekend.
That's right.
That's sweet, man.
That's really nice, and we do appreciate his call. But Brett, you had an observation?
Yeah, hi, you guys. I found him entertaining, still kind of laughing about it, but I understood his point. I don't know what that was about me. He was talking about the evaluations that are being done by some of the treatment facilities. And in the Seattle area, in this state, there's several private evaluation companies, but a lot of people get sucked into going to Lakeside Milam, for instance, to get their evaluation done. Well, and they're in the business of treating you. Of course, they're going to send you in for a long stay.
Hey, I'm an alumnus, so be talk nice about them, okay?
My alma mater. I'm not putting down their program. I believe they have an excellent program, and that this guy certainly should be taken advantage of it. But the point he was making was that a lot of people get grouped into that thinking they need to go there to get their evaluation. There's several
Casey,
people
look at the look on Casey's face. She didn't know how many of the show members had been through rehab until now either.
Yeah. I'm really starting to rethink my decision to be here.
If you ever go there, ask for the OK wing.
So, Brett, that's a good point. So go and get a private assessment.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that go on in the state. It needs to be investigated, some of the regulations that go on. I just had to, I'd rather not say what I do, but I send people to these programs, and I had a private assessment done, and we found out that an individual had gone into an outpatient program. He was supposed to be doing his 4 days a week. This outpatient program had seen him once in a month.
So it's kind of like being a Husky football prospect.
Yeah,
don't actually have to go.
Where is this job I'm supposed to get paid for?
People aren't putting on the best program.
Thank you, Brett.
It's brutal.
Joe had a very interesting observation and a theory, which the caller who was drinking did not prove, but Joe wants to test out this theory on us.
Well, I thought, for one, Rip Torn, all you hear is the audio. He obviously sounds very drunk. While he's played a drunk character for many years, he may just sound that way. And when Chris called earlier and sounded that way, I figured he was probably sober as a judge and just sounds drunk.
Which judge, though? The one that drove on Queen Anne?
Well, as it turned out, that's the judge he was sober as. He had been drinking. But I think there are a lot of people out there, and I know a couple of them, that they just sound wasted. They sound ripped even when they're not. I mean, they wake up in the morning kind of sounding drunk.
Is there anybody out there who sounds drunk normally? People have accused you of being drunk, and this is your normal voice. We're clearing the landing strip for you right now at 1-800-252-1025.
Got a neighbor.
You have a neighbor who sounds,
a neighbor. Yep.
Sounds drunk.
All the time. And, I mean, God love him. It's because of a motorcycle accident.
This is not the neighbor you're feuding
with. Not at all. This is massive head wound Bob. He's And don't get me wrong, the guy is sharp as a tack, permanently injured from a motorcycle accident.
Oh, okay. Well, that had
But he sounds like this all the time. That's how Bob will talk to you.
And people would think he's drunk.
Always. He is always getting looks.
Do they call him Massive Head Wound Bob?
His friends. We do. His friends do.
His only his yeah. best yeah. buddy, so yeah. we should probably not say
great,
it here.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Mm. I mean, he's a great guy. You know,
Is there any sign of the massive head? Something he can point to?
Nope. It's all internal. It is. And he's always explaining himself. God forbid somebody, you know, stops him. If he runs a stop sign or something, God forbid. He's got a flat on. Let me walk a straight line.
Let me clear the alphabet for you.
The officer would say, "Do you know why I pulled you over?"
And yes, I do. I ran a stop sign. Wait, hold on.
They think they've hit the jackpot. They think 3-7's up on the slot machine.
Anyone out there accused of sounding drunk and you're not? 1-800-252-1025 for the hearing impaired.
1-800-252-1025.
Robert in Tumwater. Robert?
Yes. Hello?
How you doing, sir?
I'm just doing fine, sir.
So people have accused you of being under the influence and you're not?
Yes, sir, sir. I was living in Newport Beach, California back in 1989. Me and my boss had just put in detailing this was 1987. Now, unfortunately, my boss was driving. I was in the passenger seat. And I guess we were driving the car back to the owner. My boss is doing 70 miles an hour around the corner.
All right, hold on, Joe. What is he set up to now? You're really good at this.
He's driving with his boss, and he's in the passenger seat, and his boss is doing 70 miles an hour, and they're coming around the corner.
Right. Go 1987 ahead. In California, working on a car. I think it was a Porsche.
Continue, Robert. I've got it now.
We hit head-on with another Porsche.
Head-on.
Robert goes flying into the windshield. And that put me in a coma for 12 days. And so now I have traumatic brain injury on my left side of my brain. You know?
So how, I mean, this is, by the way, thank you for being brave enough to call. So people think you're drunk. How does that feel?
Oh, hey, you know, hey, man, you make fun of me, I'm going to make fun of you.
There you go.
Right, I will be careful now.
You better watch it now.
Now, do you drive? Do you go out?
Oh, yeah.
You got a driver's license?
And yeah. Hey, but don't tell anybody I drive, though, okay?
All right, we'll keep that our little secret.
I bet you can't even have one drink.
I know.
Hey, you could
have dysarthric speech impediment.
Yeah, you sound fine to me, Robert. Thanks for listening, bud.
All right, take care, guys.
Rock on, dude.
I hope he's being Aussie for Halloween.
Okay, now I'm just going to rephrase the question. Is there anyone without a head injury?
Yeah, it wasn't as much fun as I hoped it would be.
No, he's a sweet man.
Wasn't.
It's fine.